Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to Talking Hockey, episode 114. We got, again, Luke Martin and Eric here. Ty is, again, gone for the umpteenth time because he decided to watch, baseball?
Yeah, or some he such went to nonsense. The Leafs or the Jays game.
Yeah. Loser.
Like he's actually at the game.
Mm-hmm. So last week he ditched us to play a game. And playing a game, or sorry, going to the game is better than playing the game?
He's a loser for both. But anyways.
The week before that, he was having
That is the only acceptable excuse, basically, okay. In my opinion.
Understood.
So, anyways.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Today, we'll be talking about stuff. Playoffs. Mostly the playoffs, basically only the playoffs. I think we'll have to start with the controversial goal call.
We should start with the controversial no goal call in game five. Was it five or six? Game five.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll talk about all that drama that's going on. And then, we can talk Tampa versus New York Rangers, talk a little bit about what happened with Carolina and the Rangers series, talk about Colorado versus Edmonton in that crazy first game, and kind of go from there. Sure. Should we start with the...
I think we should start with the kick goal in game five, just to set up the playoff series that is now Edmonton-Colorado, if anything.
Yeah.
I think that goal should have counted. What do you think?
Yeah, Blake Coleman's goal should have counted. That was such nonsense. They let those goals go in all the time.
All the time. I'm pretty sure people have posted on Twitter. I haven't seen
that. There's tons of examples of that exact goal going in.
And there's also examples of it not counting.
Yeah, but the examples of it not counting are like more obvious kicking examples. Blake Coleman was stopping.
Yeah,
I think he was just trying to not run into the net.
Yes,
I think
he was stopping, trying not to get on the net, and trying to kind of get the puck in at the same time. And he clearly tells whether he didn't kick.
CC sliding through his other leg. So like he was literally on one leg. it was pretty rattling. Obviously, ended Calgary's season pretty much right there. Like I scored again in OT or before that game ended, but pretty demoralizing.
That kind of broke it. The series Edmonton's way, kind of. Mm-hmm. Not that Edmonton wasn't the better team and meant much of that series and probably deserved to win overall, but.
Calgary didn't have a big kill because obviously they had to.
Calgary shot the bed in that series.
Well, Markstrom shot the bed.
Markstrom shot the bed, and then they didn't score enough too. Clearly.
Yes.
Well, when you're going less than six goals a game, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, it's hard to outscore six goals a game against. It is.
The Leafs could hardly outscore Jack Campbell, and he was only four.
But also the defense did not show up either. Defensive efforts were I don't know what. Again, we talked about this last week, so we don't need to re-go over what the hell's going on with McDavid and Draisaitl and how Calgary just completely failed to have any sort of presence against them. But
McDavid literally just broke a Wayne Gretzky record of most consecutive points in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think also he's the first player since 1995-1996 to get 150 points in a season, which is including regular season plus playoffs, basically. Insane. So that's a nice little record. And guess who he's with? Guess the players from 1995. It's Lemieux and Yager. And I think Sakic as well.
Sakic.
He's checking.
Yeah, I don't know that goal. That Coleman goal was going to go in either way. Whether he kicked it, whether he didn't kick it, where it's like you see the written rule and then you remove all context. Yeah. And that's kind of like the offside rule or offside goal that McCarr scored in game one of the series.
Very, very, very technically not possession because his stick is 2 millimeters away from the puck.
Yeah. I'll just say, sorry, it cut out for some reason. We're back. We were talking about the McCarr offside just being very technical, just removing all context from the call and just being like, no, we're going to just make up rules as we go. And that's what I thought Coleman's was. It was going in the net either way, whether he kicked it. I thought it was I can see how the refs thought there was a kicking motion, but I think the kicking motion was more to be like, oh shit, I'm going to run into the net full speed right now. If I
Which
don't
isn't
pivot,
a kicking
push off my leg.
Stopping motion.
Well, yeah, but like it, I understand how it can look like a kicking motion is all I'm saying. And I still think they got their call wrong.
It's a kicking motion in the sense that his leg moved.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
The whole part, because if you go to the, like, the purpose of the no kicking rule, so guys aren't literally, like, bending their legs and trying to swing
their foot. Yeah.
I know what's happening, Eric, is you have to plug in your mic, bro. Like, I'm pretty sure it's coming out of one side. Because I hear static.
Mic broken or something?
One of the cables might be loose or something. I don't know. But
we'll try it next week again.
Yeah.
Yes, you want? Oh, we're recording. Perfect. Yeah. So like I was saying, the whole purpose of the rule, like, I don't get how they're not considering, like, what the purpose of the rule is. You know what I mean? Like, the whole purpose of the rule is so that they don't swing their feet and they don't have kicking, like, actual kicks going on. So that, like, goalies aren't getting hit in the face and players aren't getting cut on the, like, gigantic gashes on their legs. That's the purpose of it. His skate was on the ground. He was stopping. Like, it makes no sense. Like, it doesn't even – it legally, it may be kind of a kick because you're hitting the puck in. But the whole purpose of the rule is so that they don't swing at it. And he didn't swing at it.
He's directing the puck.
And they let those goals go in all the time. So, it –
And the thing is, like – he probably, the way he was falling, if he had not moved his foot the way he did, he probably would have hit it in anyways, because it was, like you guys said earlier, it was going in. So it was going to be a goal.
Yeah.
No matter what. And then just because you can visually see Coleman look down and be like, okay, if I move my foot like this, it will go in for sure. Like, you can see him do that.
For sure. I have no doubt he tried to use his leg to get it in.
But if he had a fallen and not tried to direct anything, I think he would have it would have went in with
him. And I think if he didn't do that at all in the first place, he would have smashed into the net regardless.
Which you're right. I think it should – stuff like that should be considered. Like, if it's going in the net, no matter what he does, and he just – helps it along, plus prevents himself from falling.
Snowflake. Snowball. What's his name?
Stupid dog. Yeah,
stupid snowflake.
Bad dog. Anyways, it's nice that Marin showed up for a second. So, I'm kidding. I agree. And then, so to get back to the Makar goal then, the whole purpose of that law is that, you know, it's offside in like 99% of scenarios. I've never seen a call like that happen before because there's constantly, I think Luke's frozen or he's not frozen. I don't know.
I'm not moving.
That's why. In every other scenario, when they call offside, it's situations like that. Like many times they don't directly have the puck on their stick. That doesn't mean they can just waltz right in with it, just like while the guy's and still in the zone. Like, it makes no sense. And the whole purpose of that rule is so that, you know, you don't have people cheating and staying in the zone and all that. You have to make them clear. So, like, again, this is a situation where, like, very, very, very technically he's onside. But the spirit of the rule is getting completely broken in that sense. So I don't the NHL is just stupid. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if this playoffs have been especially bad with refereeing, because I think every year we're just like, Jesus Christ, it's like brutal.
I think this year is especially bad.
Like, yeah, I think this year has been especially bad.
But my main issue with the Makar goal is, first off, I was like, wow, I watched it real time. Great goal. Great shot. Super sexy. And I was like, boo, they're going to wave this off because of offside. And then they did an offside review and they called it a good goal, which case I was like, boo, if you're going to do an offside review, at least get the call right. Like, you know, first off, I want the goal to stay because it was such a nice shot, such a nice play by Makar. Then I was like, boo, you gave him the goal, but you got it wrong. And my biggest issue with this is that this is completely opposite of how we've defined possession for the last 10 ever. Plus, ever since I've watched the sport.
Absolutely.
Because as far as I've been aware, when you like touch the puck like that and control it and then move forward, that is still qualified as possession of the puck. I get it if it was like Makar was like reaching out and then like barely got it, didn't have it on
the
stick.
Puck's a foot away and he's chasing it.
I get that in the spirit of possession, that is not possession. I get that. But my problem is now, anytime a player is not touching the puck and they get hit, you better be calling that interference, because you've just said that is no longer possession of the puck, which means that they are not liable to get hit. Otherwise, that is interference, which we know happens 100 times a game. So what are we doing here? That's my biggest issue with it. That's why I get annoyed.
That's what makes it so much worse. It's the impact it has. That is onside. The impact that has on everything else by how you define things gets completely changed, right? Luke's so right. It changes the way possession is defined. It changes the way offside/onside are onside is defined.
And am I actually
any player doesn't want to get called offside now. He just needs to make sure his stick isn't touching the puck.
Yeah, which means the whole the whole point of the rule was that Duchesne absurd offside. But by this definition, he's technically not offside because it's still delayed offside. He didn't touch the puck though. And that, like, I don't understand the comprehension that it has. Maybe I just can't comprehend it, but like, it doesn't make any sense. If the puck is in while Nichushkin is coming out, that's a delayed offside. Nothing changed between wasn't Makar in the, I don't know. Maybe Makar wasn't
Makar
inside
wasn't
the line.
In, he wasn't in, but his stick was in.
His stick was in. And they're saying he didn't technically have
possession. He was touching it.
And it's mind-boggling. Yes, it's mind-boggling to me how many like Elliot Friedman and stuff are agreeing with this call. And it's like, way to toe the NHL line, man. Like,
yeah, it's just
like, it's such a butcher call, man. Like, it just seems
really
bad. And
Luke's point is the most important part of it, which is you've just changed what possession means.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, if I was a player,
like, what is possession now?
If
nobody
I was a
knows
player,
what possession is.
Yeah.
Other possession is quite literally only if the puck is literally touching your stick, which when you're puck handling, half the time it isn't
it's
on
not
your
touching
stick.
Yeah, it's not touching the stick at all. Yeah, it's rattling.
So,
it's
so
a
when
ridiculous.
You get hit, is there still possession? Is it not possession?
It almost didn't matter, but that goal technically became – it was a one-goal game. Like,
that was
I mean, Colorado maybe still wins. Who knows? Whatever. But and it's not like we hate Colorado. I want Colorado to win the series.
Me too.
Like, I want them to win. But it was nonsense. Complete nonsense.
It's just classic NHL. Yeah.
And then, so speaking, since we're talking about refereeing, and I don't want to make a whole episode on refereeing because, you know, we do this often, but someone tweeted, in the span of a year, Tim Peel essentially admitted that NHL referees do make up calls every game, have a bias for players both positively and negatively, might have been gambling with other players, and the crazy part, this might just be the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I saw that gambling one.
Yeah, so so for anyone who's not aware of who Tim Peel is, former referee, on Twitter all the time, tweeting his nonsense takes, very often just complete garbage. And you're just like, okay, this is what he feels, and this is what he's willing to even share. I don't even know what he's hiding still. But if he's feeling this way, I guarantee there's a whole bunch of other referees that feel this way. And he's admitted a bunch of stuff. Like, makeup calls do exist. Like, he said it. We've even heard referees say it in the past. Like, on recording.
Yeah, that's kind
of obvious,
we've
heard it on
though.
Recordings too, right? Like, refs are like, oh, I really tried to get a penalty for this guy, but I couldn't do it. Right? Like, that is a recording out there. I think – I forget who it was from. I think it was Wes McCauley. Might be mistaken.
That's kind of like human nature.
I mean, but like, the whole purpose of referees is to fight against human nature. Right, like that's the entire point of the job. But anyways,
looking at it right now. Tim Peel quote tweeted that or screenshot that guy and then shared it, being like, "Should I sue for defamation for saying for implying that I gambled with players?" Tim, you said that.
Yeah, Tim Peel's tweet was literally.
Let's go back to Run Roulette or something like that?
I think it was Brendan Dubinsky or something like that. Yeah. Some Columbus player, Columbus Blue Jackets player. And he was like, well, yeah, let's go back to the casino and blah, 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 like we used to, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then he's like, oh, should I sue him for slander? So anyways, NHL refereeing is a joke. It's clearly influenced quite a few games in substantial ways this playoffs. Calgary, Colorado, the Leafs interference goal. There's a whole bunch of them going on, and yeah, that's all I have to say about it. Really, I don't know if you guys have anything else.
No, not really. It was crazy. I just think there's just so many ways it changes how we think of possession now. For example, if there's a delayed power play, Austin Matthews just keeps the puck at the end of his stick, like poking it forward, never actually possesses it, right? It never has it on his stick, just poking it forward. Is that, did he just not call a penalty? Like, is it a delayed penalty based on the rule that he never had control of the puck, just pushing it forward?
Yeah, you see McDavid rushing up the ice, half the time he's just putting it in front of him and fucking just whipping.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just a lot of, like, what that I saw.
I mean, and the NHL has historically been very bad with interference. I have no idea what interference is in the NHL anymore.
No,
like,
me neither.
I can never call whether something's interference or not. I never know.
It's literally every time the most troubling
it's interference, I'm just like, it's like.
What?
Yeah, I have no idea what interference is in the NHL. Absolutely no clue. And I don't think anyone else does either.
No.
Also, okay. This playoffs is clearly showing that no fans actually know the rules of hockey. Or the NHL doesn't know the rules of hockey. Someone's
I don't know. Everyone's screenshotting that the rule book, and I'm like, I don't know how you interpret this as not possession when, like, the definition of possession has not been direct contact with the puck for a lot of things. So, that's I don't know. Maybe it's a moot point, but let's preview the series then. Did we preview it? No, we didn't know Atlanta, or we didn't know any of the series last time.
No, we didn't. But
did we want to respond? I think two of the series weren't over.
New York and Carolina, we didn't get to really cover too much because I watched the last game.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we'll get back into the show.
I watched the last game.
Bro, that was so boring.
I watched it after all the good stuff happened. It was a dull game. Yeah, Carolina.
Carolina got smashed.
Didn't look so good.
They completely choked it. They're a better team, but the Rangers, I don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, besides the fact that they did, you know, they didn't have a starting goalie playing second stringers and third stringers and all this stuff, but they didn't lose this series just because of goaltending. Like, they didn't.
No.
They didn't. Part of it was goaltending.
Does it feel like the weirdest?
But it wasn't goaltending.
Does it feel like a weird thing that New York has home ice advantage
against Tampa Bay when it feels like New York's the biggest fraud in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, it feels weird, but like, that's because Tampa had a really bad, like, not a really bad regular season because they still were like at 100 points, but
110.
Yes. It's also because New York was.
They had a really bad regular season with a winning percentage of 640.
Yeah, New York Rangers were a good team, but also they were a team that for most of the year relied very heavily on Shesterkin. Right? Yeah. Shesterkin was on pace up until like March to have the best goalie season ever. Basically.
They had the same amount of points.
And they could still win this.
New York had way more regulation. No, actually, why are they higher? Is it because strictly because they were a 3 seed and New York Rangers were a 2 seed? Because Tampa has more.
Yeah, it's all about the seeding.
It's all about the seeds.
Fuck, that's stupid as hell. They have more regulation overtime wins. Once it should reseed, no? That's kind of ridiculous. Anyways, they're losing 1-0 right now.
Rangers? Yeah,
Tampa's losing 1-0. Tampa, it does make sense that they're losing just because, like, if you think about it, Tampa's had 9 or 10 days off. So,
yeah,
like,
they've been off for quite a while.
Are, like, score, I feel like, in the first 2 minutes of every game, too. Like, it seems like they're always up early. This is the first running goalie that they faced, though, since game one.
Yeah, of the... it is. So, that's going to be an interesting one because they really haven't played against any first
a good goalie.
Line goalies. And I think... as of right now, I don't think Braden Point's return, right? I don't think he's playing in the game right now. John Cooper, like, right before said he was unclear if he was starting or not. I don't know if he actually ended up starting because the game's happening right now for anyone actually listening. Yeah. Just started.
Yes, Martin?
Yeah, playing in Eastern Conference Final would be a bonus. Is what Cooper last said about point. So probably definitely not playing game one.
What the
So they're missing their first line center. They're still a better team than New York. New York can win, but I think most people should be betting on Tampa here.
I have like Tampa in 5.
Yeah, but New York does have a little bit of Montreal, Dallas dust falling on them right now. It feels a little bit.
Yes.
You got a little bit of the magic.
For sure.
You know, everything's coming together at the right time perfectly.
Like you just said, they have Shesterkin, who was having a breaking record year before March.
And then he still is going to win the Vesna this year.
And he's still going to win the Vesna, and he still carried them through this playoffs.
Basically. So if he goes to start mode, they win. If Tampa can't overcome Braden Point, they'll win.
New York should have never been out of that first round, but
alas. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh was the better team, but
Pittsburgh got goalied by their third string. They got negatively impacted goaltending.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yes. Yeah, that was a complete disaster from a goaltending perspective. Yeah. But they were far better.
Pittsburgh also had a whole bunch of injuries. Yeah. Like
Crosby is out for a bit. Letang was out, Gensel was out, and that's because Trouba's been injuring guys.
I think most of his hits have been clean though.
Tampa Bay just scored that for
you. Injured like 3 players this playoffs already.
I think most of his hits have been clean, though.
They're clean. They're all clean. They're just big. He's just a big boy.
He's a big boy. I think there was one hit that looked a little dirty,
but anyways, yeah.
If you're talking about the Crosby one, it's just because Crosby's head like whips back.
Yeah, I don't think there was any ill intent by Trouba on that.
As much as
I want New York Rangers to get embarrassed in this series, I won't hate.
I want Trouba a competitive series. I don't want an embarrassing.
Like, I want embarrassing. No. I want New York.
I want
Rangers
to at least game 6. I don't want another 4 or 5 game series.
I don't want Chris Drury winning GM of the year because of his goalie.
Yeah, well, that's gonna happen no matter what. It's gonna be Drury or Ken Holland right now. Like I guarantee they're gonna be. I mean, Luke actually had a funny. So Luke in our group,
he sent us a message.
It was like 2 days ago or something like that. And I like looked at my phone, and he's like the three finalists for the three finalists for the GM of the year award. And then he is like number one, Chris Drury, number two, Ken Holland, and then number three, Joe Sakic. So, and then I genuinely, for like a couple, I 100%.
I thought I was reading it, I was like,
I 100% believe Luke. I was just like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Is it accurate at all?
No.
It's three of the last four GMs. Tampa Bay never gets any recognition, and it always goes to the one who gets the best goalie or the best coaching.
Yeah.
And Gallant is not – Gallant probably will win the Jack Adams because of best goaltending. And coaching-wise and analytically-wise, they have overperformed in every metric all year.
Cooper should win the Jack Adams just for the – Lennon's boys have 9 days off. Did you hear that? Like, they didn't practice for the first 5 days they had off in between series. Cooper's like, just go chill, boys. Like, we've been here before. You guys know what
Cooper
to do.
Cooper is
like,
by far, I think, the best coach. I think he has the leash to do whatever he wants for the next 7 years with Tampa and not get fired, and he probably will still win two or three more games.
That's like Mike Sullivan, though, you know? Like, we thought that about Mike Sullivan, and then what, like, people are talking about him getting fired and shit.
Yeah.
Like, he won two cups in a row, too.
He's dealt with a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and
he doesn't have the goaltender, obviously. Like, that's helping Cooper.
Yeah, John Cooper, like, you know, amazing coach. But, you know, you're still relying on Vasilevsky,
You always get goalies.
You're getting freaking 30 points from Kucherov and Braden Point in the playoffs every year, or except this year. But
like, if you look at most of the series, like, why would you say the losing team lost? Like, Calgary lost because of goalie. Yeah. They got goalie both. Like, Mike Smith decided to be an average goaltender, which helped. Edmonton, Pittsburgh definitely got goalie because they had to play.
Actually, here's a fact someone tweeted, and I marked it down. The Rangers have played 5% of their playoff minutes against starting goalies, 58% against backups, and 37% against third stringers.
And like, yeah, and then you can just say New York's where they are because they've played backup goalies and stuff, so they got goalied into the Eastern Finals, and then Dallas almost goalied out Calgary in the first round.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, basically it's largely goalie. Come down to just did your goalie perform, yes or no, right?
Yeah.
The year St. Louis won the Cup, Bennington went off. The year Washington won the Cup, Braden Holtby had an awful regular season and then lit up in the playoffs. Vasilevsky's been insane last 2 years.
So is the reason you guys want Edmonton to lose because you don't think they deserve to be in the finals?
I don't think they deserve to be in the finals at all. I think McDavid and Draisaitl deserve to be in the finals. McDavid
and Draisaitl, they do.
Maybe add Kane and Heim into that group. But that's about it.
Yes. I want Edmonton to lose because I don't root for any Canadian teams once Toronto.
I also don't think Nuge has been that great for us, has he? Like, I mean, he hasn't, like, you know, impressed me.
The only thing I've heard about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins this playoffs is that he showed up to the press conference yesterday or last night or this morning. I don't know when in his hotel slippers. That's the only thing I've heard about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
The only important thing.
I mean, he has 13 points in 13 games.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that's coming from the power play. It's coming, you know, all that stuff like
that. Yeah, don't discredit him, okay?
He's probably been fine, but out of the games I've watched from Edmonton, I haven't seen anything where I'm like, he's definitely, you know, providing when he needs to. Like, I think it's just, what I'm saying, it's like their three top four forward guys just freaking destroying.
Yeah,
and then, you know, goalie. Except for game one against Colorado. There was something.
Wait, so before we get into that series further, what is the predictions for Tampa and New York? Because we didn't.
Tampa in six.
I think Tampa in five.
Okay. I think Tampa loses game one because they're a little rusty, and then they come out firing for the rest of the series.
They play with their food before they demolish it.
I think we're also, you guys are, again, I still feel like the Rangers have a little bit of magic in them right now, right? You can make, you, Like, we make fun of them because they, you know, they're you know.
If Tampa wins game one, the Magic might die right and, there.
If there's one team that
has some Montreal-Dallas Magic going on right now.
If there's one team that can screw over any team's Magic, it's probably the team that beat those two teams.
Yeah.
Which is Tampa.
Exactly. Well, I'm still picking Tampa for the finals, but I'm also not saying they steamroll them because, you know, Montreal and Dallas weren't five-game series, right? They're six.
This is true. This is true. Good on you, Eric.
So, yeah. Thinking about it like that, again, Tampa's probably still going to win. If they go up against Colorado, I still think Tampa wins. That's my
bet. You think Tampa beats the Avs?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, it will be such a good series.
Because I think Braden Point's back at that time. And I think, you know, Colorado still doesn't, you know, their goaltending's a disaster right now.
Yeah.
It'll be like the only time I can remember where the two best teams face each other, if it happens.
For the last couple of years, there's always been a kind of a Cinderella team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when St. Louis won, like.
St. Louis was the best team, but they really just got there. Like, again, magical. They had the magic going. Everything was going, you know, well for them.
Bennington
hit. But St. Louis was the best team in the NHL from like December onward, right? Which is still half the season.
True. Yeah. So I don't know. I want those two teams. But we also said, you know, what would be a good series? The Battle of Alberta, which was arguably a good series, but it would have been nice if it went seven. And then it ended up being Edmonton in five. Like, sure. And then everyone's saying, oh, the McDavid-McKinnon series is going to be fantastic. First game came as advertised. I love run-and-gun playoff hockey, man. Fuck defense.
That is the best hockey. Like, you know, having, like, imagine, like, if there was, like, a Dallas versus... Like Islanders final, like how miserable. Like,
three goals a game.
Would you even watch at that point? Like I wouldn't watch.
I probably wouldn't. To be honest, it'd be so dull.
I have better things to do with my life. I can watch grass grow.
Yeah.
I can watch.
I can watch. Try at the wall in my room. Actually, that is fun. No, I don't. I want a fun series for sure. And it's so like the best thing about the Leafs being out is that it's not stressful anymore. I will say that like that watching a hockey game isn't a stress inducing event. Must be nice for Martin to never have stress inducing events because none of his games mean anything. So I understand why you enjoy hockey so much right now, Martin.
Well, it's fun. This being a good playoffs. It's been a good
playoffs. Overall, yeah, the first round was like,
Leafs lost.
almost every round in the first, almost every series in the first round went to seven, except for the sweep by Colorado, and what, the Minnesota one,
which was predictable.
Is that those the only two? I guess most of them went six or seven, which is nice. But yeah, that was a good first round.
So get some context into what I mean by like Ryan Nugent Hopkins like having not done much from what I've kind of seen. So controlled entry. So that's usually, you know, like driving offense, getting you into the zone, stuff like that. He ranks 11th out of 12 Edmonton forwards for zone entries. And for controlled entries, he's number 10 out of 12. Nine out of 12. Like he's just like, he hasn't been carrying the puck. He hasn't been exiting the zone very frequently. He's like sixth or seventh and on Edmonton and that, like, he's just been kind of like there, which is, you know, I guess it's fine because if you have McDavid and Draisaitl doing their thing, but yeah, he hasn't been great. And Duncan Keith has been brutal, like just brutalized by every team he's faced basically. And you just know that he's going to get some type of credit for Edmonton's run at the end of this.
Oh, he already is. Like, every fucking person's like, oh, like,
that leadership.
He's the exact voice they needed.
And he's just been he's like every single stat, like carry-ins against, goals against, shots against, like, expected goals against.
It's like Duncan Keith is not telling McDavid, hey, dude, go play out of your fucking mind. McDavid's telling McDavid to go play out of his mind.
Duncan Keith isn't. So, for example, So carry against percentage is okay. So the amount of time where a player is skating at you, how many times do you deny them from entering the zone, right? Or how many times do you let them go past you? So the Edmonton's best players mm-hmm. are Brett Kulak and Evan Bouchard at this. So only 40% of the time do players get past them.
Right? I've liked Bouchard's been
fantastic.
Playoffs.
Brett Kulak has been fantastic too, right? And he doesn't get enough credit, I think, until right now. But guess what? So if Brett Kulak and Evan Bouchard allow 40% of players to get in the zone against them, what do you think Duncan Keith's percentage is?
They let 40?
60? Duncan Keith's at 75%.
Oh, no. That's not good.
So that's the difference. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, holy. You basically have a free zone entry against Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
Like, and you were guessing high, God. Too. I bet when you were doing that, you're like, what's the ridiculous number? 60%.
Yeah, 60.
Like 74.6%. Like, that's how bad he's been at it. Like, it's freaking Jesus Christ.
He's the kid. There was always a kid on the soccer team that you were like, on deep, like if you're telling your forwards, hey man, that guy's weak, go at him.
He's the guy. And to make it worse, you know how like Edmonton brought in Duncan Keith because he's like, oh, he makes such a great first pass. He's going to help exit the zone and all this other stuff. He ranks five out of six defensemen for zone exits. And he's fourth on the team for possession exits. So he's not even doing the one thing that theoretically he's supposed to be really good at, from what we heard from everybody, right? Oh, no,
but he scored that big goal. He scored that one big goal.
Sure, and he's probably allowed like 18 big goals against him in the playoffs. Like complete, just I don't know what's going on, but yeah, he's been bad. It's all.
And now I'll get exploited against Colorado.
Man, Colorado's like, whole goal is every freaking home game you get McKinnon. And Co, or actually your first two lines, but McKinnon and Co against Duncan Keith pairing, right? Like that's the whole game that series.
Yes.
Just get him against that pairing and just tear them apart.
Because how much is Duncan Keith playing? I bet he's playing a fuck.
When I checked one game, he was at like 17, 18 minutes, but whatever, right? It doesn't matter. If he's in, out there for 12 minutes, that's 12 minutes of free freaking domination in Colorado, right? And then you're on the, you know, you're on the defensive, and then Keith gets off, and your other guys are just stuck in their own zone against whoever it is. And Colorado, the thing is, like Duncan Keith so far, like these stats don't include what's happening in Colorado so far, right? Colorado is a pure, like not a pure, but like the best off the rush team in the NHL, which means you're putting up Duncan Keith against the team that's the best at what they do in that area against his biggest weakness. So it's an even a bigger mismatch. And then McKinnon is only behind McDavid probably when it comes to entering the zone with possession, like kind of, you know, getting it, like it's McKinnon after Duncan, McDavid, right? So it's like weakness on weakness on weakness. Like it's such a bad scenario for Edmonton. So it's even impressive that the game ended up 8-6. For them, considering Colorado could tear that bottom pairing apart, especially 18 minutes, man. Ethan's a lot. I'm sure part of that time might be on like the penalty kill or you know, whatever, or power play. Maybe I don't really recall, but not a good look for them.
I feel like Barry plays.
Yeah, Barry. I think it's Barry and Nurse. So I take that back. But yeah, there's probably some special teams on that.
Yeah. I don't think there's much more to that series. It was just predictions. What do we
got? Yeah, I mean, I have Colorado in six again. I guess most likely. I was going to say five, but I think McDavid and Draisaitl can pull a rabbit out of their hat a couple times.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously Colorado does not have goaltending. Yeah. And Kuemper left last night. So that's not great. Mess.
Yeah, that's worrisome.
Yes. Especially when you're going up against guys like
Yeah, so they're going to have to score eight goals again. A game.
18
they're going to have to score 18
Which they might, be able to do because they obviously got to Mike Smith last night. Yeah. And I guess every first game of the series, of each series, he's been
Yeah, Mike Smith has not liked game one, but yeah, I agree. We'll see what happens.
I think it would be hilarious. Did you see like Woodcroft's like not telling us who he's starting? And it's like, dude, you're starting Mike Smith. Like, there's no fucking way you're not starting Mike Smith. That'd be so dumb to not start Mike Smith.
And then if he flops a bed, then
You don't start him. If he flops next game, then you don't.
But
start
you got to give. You got to put him in again.
You have to go back. You have to.
I agree.
Yeah, you have to. Go
he's
back
been like the turn. Mike Smith is a. I think like, and like some of these teams are such good examples of like. Do you pay for goaltending? Do you not pay for goaltending? Do you just pray that your goalie goes on a hot run in the playoffs? Like, you don't know what you're going to get. God.
Well, you knew with Mike Smith.
I mean, you knew, but you don't know. You don't know if you're going to get Mike Smith being decent or Mike Smith being, like, the worst goalie ever. Like, you just – I mean, not the worst goalie ever, but, you know, like, just not good. Not NHL caliber not good, especially at whatever, 38 years old, 39 years old, however old. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. There's.
So I could see the I see Calgary winning in six, but I could see it in five, depending on how Mike Smith plays. Because I think Colorado is just way too much. Like they have, like almost every defenseman's better on Colorado than any defenseman on Edmonton. So that's
we also
a
have a Jack Johnson versus Cody Ceci series, you know? You
Cody
know,
Ceci has been, actually, according to JFresh Hockey, Cody Ceci's been the best player at breaking up defensive plays.
Yeah, I think he has, based off of what I'm
People
saying.
People have been commenting, complimenting Ceci a lot.
Ceci, do you love me?
Yeah, yeah, he's been good against zone entries, but against controlled entries, so players actually going against him, he's still been very, very bad at it, which is typical for him. So, but yeah, he.
But again, he's only in 18 minutes too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just the fact that these two.
But McKinnon can make Nurse look awful.
And they're starting six defensemen, and then you have like teams like the Leafs compared. Complaining about having like Justin Hall in their top six, like the comparisons, man.
Yeah,
like you look at the sixth defenseman or fifth defense, like you know Edmonton's sixth defenseman isn't even freaking Cody Ceci. Their sixth defenseman is Duncan Keith. Real, actually, I don't know by minutes, but by
I think by minutes it's Evan Bouchard.
It is definitely Duncan Keith. And then Cody Ceci. But well, that's like their bottom, their two worst defensemen right there, right? Whereas, and Habs, I don't think they'd be playing Jack Johnson if Sam Girard was here, but he's out for the playoffs. So that's rough
killed.
For them. Because he is a big aspect. And again, that's another reason why I'm saying in six, because they did lose a top four, top pairing defenseman.
But like Taves is unreal. Obviously, Makar is Makar. Yeah.
But Girard really makes that third. Second pairing. Like you know, like
Girard is their third. Yeah, normally,
he's number
right?
three. It's usually Kale Makar, Devin Taves, Sam Girard, and Eric Johnson, and then switch out that bottom pair with whoever. Right.
Byron's been playing pretty well. Bowen.
Yeah. Anyways, that's the two playoff series. I think everyone made those predictions, right? Hmm? Yeah, that was kind of it. The other conversation that was going around was because of the Rangers' success, people were talking about some of the worst trades in NHL history, and people were saying Panarin for Saad is one of the worst or the worst.
For Chicago?
Yeah, well, because they traded away Panarin and got Saad. And they obviously, you know, with some context, they traded away Panarin because they thought they couldn't afford him. Yeah. And therefore brought in Saad, which was dumb. But, and we said it at the time. Like, I think we all said it at the time. Right? It was just like a dumb trade, even at.
It is funny how people will hate on the Leafs for signing guys to big deals, but they've never lost a skill like Panarin. and no one critiques Chicago. Well, people do critique Chicago.
Well, the second one on this list is Rask for Raycroft.
What are we doing this whole list?
Yeah, no, it was just someone's list on Twitter that
I was gonna say. I feel like we're done for today because there's nothing.
Kessel for second overall, plus fifth overall, which ended up being Sagan and I forget who else. Forget who's fifth in that year. But anyways,
I feel like Andrew Raycroft for Tuukka Rask is worse than that. But anyways,
and then there was Brassard for Zibanejad. I wanted that to be mentioned too. Okay.
Didn't Saad win a cup?
Yeah, but that was in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Chicago traded away Panarin to bring in Saad back in like 2018 or 2017. I forget what year that was. So they brought Saad back at the decline in his career while Panarin was peaking.
My bad.
And then there's Brassard for Zibanejad in the second rounder, which was historically bad for Ottawa. Anyways, that's it.
Yes. Zibanejad, trading away Zibanejad for Brassard was
bad. And a second rounder. Trade.
Yes.
So they gave up the better player, the better future player, and then they're like, oh, we got to add up.
Yeah. Because look at Zibanejad right now. Zibanejad has like 18 points this playoffs. And like he's a big factor.
Been on pace for like 50 goals for multiple years, and he's been almost point per game. It's such a bad trade. My lord. All right, anyways. That's the end of the episode. Producer Luke wants to go to bed. He looks grumpy. Thank you for listening. We love you.
We got a hockey,
game to watch, and I have a gym to go to. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.